take a few minutes on this part of the show to tell you something that I've talked about for over a decade. Why I still oppose genetically modified crops, GMOs, folks. Think about it. Introduced over a decade ago, genetically modified crops are now planted on millions and millions of acres throughout the entire world. But the fundamental questions about them still remain in my brain, both about their safety and their long-term impact on global food security and, my big kick, on the environment itself. Using introduction of genetically modified crops, I've talked about it on my radio shows. When I began, genetically modified corn and soybeans were still just kind of getting a foothold in our American fields. Now, of course, hundreds of millions of acres here and abroad have been planted to these new varieties, which are usually engineered to withstand the application of pesticides. That's the real reason they were made. Pesticides usually made by the same company that engineered the seeds. A la, folks, what we talked about forever, Monsanto, now owned by the Bayer Corporation. Even wheat and rice producers, latecomers to the genetically modified table, are feeling the pressure now to go ahead and convert their crops. Part of the problem is that there has been a real frenzy in the grain markets in the past couple of years. A new kind of a volatility in futures and in prices on the ground that seems to favor GMOs, genetically modified crops. And it makes sense because the cost of conventionally grown grain goes up and up because there is less and less of it on a worldwide basis. This leaves the world open to the nearly unchecked proliferation of genetically modified varieties. However, after all this time, I still oppose genetically modified crops. This may sound like I'm just being a bad guy on my part. Like a Luddite, reluctant to accept what's coming in the future. I am not that. It is certainly dispiriting to me. Like many people, I feel as I did over a decade ago. The genetically modified crops were introduced with just the smallest of assurances of safety based on studies from small test plots here and there, a far different thing from the uncontrolled global experiment we now find ourselves in the midst of by planting millions and millions of acres of these things. At this moment in time, scientists are still discovering the extent to which genetic fragments from these new crops can drift into other organisms. There is no evidence yet of truly what I would call catastrophic drift, where a genetic shard from a new crop cripples other organisms. But there is plenty of evidence to show that genetically modified fragments are turning up in places we never intended them to be. The worry is not just how widespread the altered versions of the familiar crop might be, like corn and soybeans. It's also that many more conventional crops are being modified and that many more landscapes and ecosystems yet untouched so far will end up being planted with genetically modified varieties. These crops kind of close the circle on the farmer's knowledge, finally eliminating, after 10,000 years, the farmer's role in the genetics of agriculture. Genetically modified crops are rigorously licensed forms of quote-unquote, now legally called intellectual property. Every seed is a binding contract with stiff penalties attached to it. This represents the final transfer of the collective farming wisdom of human races into corporate hands. Only the most minute fraction of the DNA in a genetically modified crop has been modified. The rest is the result of an infant elaboration of working farmers choosing their own seeds season after season after season over all the thousands of years we've been planting our own foods. Let's put it the way I have to think like an eighth grader. What they've done now is claim the intellectual property to living things. And if a farmer's caught, for instance, planting one of these seeds without paying for it directly from the modifier, he can be sued, fined, and they've been taken to courts hundreds of times. Many times, the farmer himself was even unaware that the seed he bought had been modified because whoever provided the seed had also shorted the intellectual owner of that particular piece of property. I hope that kind of makes sense. So it's more complicated than just, I planted the bad seed or a wrong seed. In my mind, the trouble with genetically modified crops isn't just because the fact is that they genetically modified. It's that they embody so totally the troubling logic of modern agriculture. They really demonstrate the tendency of commercial seeds to drive out traditional, locally adapted varieties, a pattern that has been intensifying since the introduction of hybrid corn originally back in the 30s, and that was not genetically modified, it was just hybridized. They exemplify the consistent bias towards expensive, high-tech solutions, when in much of the world, simple, low-tech solutions still make much better and much more affordable sense. They foster the spread of commodity crops grown for cash in place of sustenance crops grown to indeed feed the world. Think about it this way. Genetically modified crops actually create an illusion of more and better choices. That's what they make you want to believe, when in fact, they represent a narrowing of genetic ownership and a model of genetic diversity that is totally unattainable outside of the human laboratory. Because of that, they may well turn out to decrease food security in the long run, especially as new non-food varieties, for instance, crops genetically modified to produce pharmaceuticals, which incidentally are already in production. Most people don't realize that. The risk is enhanced by the licensing restrictions on genetically modified seeds that prevent independent research on their environmental impact, period. We can't even look at it. In effect, the GM seed industry is able to stifle research even by agricultural scientists who are somewhat, in some cases, even sympathetic to the technology. What genetically modified crops really do, folks, is give us the illusion of revolutionizing farming without actually changing much of anything. Farmers who plant them do spend less time and less fuel in the field, which is a good thing. But trying to pack a revolution into a seed won't do when the entire system is actually in trouble and needs to be revolutionized on its own. Industrial agricultural is the exact opposite as far as diversity of every kind of biological, social, and cultural or political ways that we, for years, grew our crops. To understand its real effects on the diversity, you have only to look, for instance, this one really came to mind, Brazilian soybeans, a commodity crop grown where there was once a good piece of the Amazonian forest. Now, folks, that thousands, tens of thousands, maybe it's 100,000, are all monocultures growing one thing, a genetically modified bean. There is no disputing the enormous productivity of industrial agriculture. As long as you measure productivity solely in terms of the relationship between yield and labor, and you don't pay any attention to the health of the land or the well-being of the people who have to live there, but in pursuing the unrelenting logic of an industrial version of agriculture, we have left a world of alternatives really, at this point, never explored. At this point in my life, at least, the human species is still running ahead of the prediction I heard when I was a kid that we will outgrow our ability to feed ourselves. That's not true yet. But this is a deeply troubling time for agriculture. As even a quick scan of the headlines will show you, soaring food prices are worst of all places in the poorest parts of the world. Soaring profits in the richest, ongoing and wholly unnecessary. Subsidies, growing competition between food and non-food crops, among other things. The list just goes on and on. To us here in America, the continued resistance to genetically modified crops in other parts of the world kind of looks strange, a refusal to accept a done deal. But it is more than resistance to a type of seed. It's also a resistance to a model of agriculture whose failings are all too plain. Let me tell one story to illustrate this. A decade or so ago, when I first got into the first corn that was genetically modified, they sent tons, I don't know how many tons, I won't exaggerate one way or the other, to a couple of the countries in Africa. And they literally dumped thousands of pounds of seeds there and let them try the corn, some of which were successful, some weren't. But as time went on, it evolved itself to be one or two or three or four varietals in this particular part of the country, of the world, that they gave them to. Now, guess what happens? Now, genetically modified corns, this happens to be a non-BT corn, you can't reproduce your own. You're not allowed to use your own seeds to plant your own fields. So the poorest people on earth that basically for thousands of years have saved their own seeds, and they saved the ones that did the best in their, they super tuned these seeds to grow right in that particular place on earth. All at once, they've quit using their own. They don't have that stock anymore, and they're forced to buy seeds from the industrial companies that invented the modified crop. And the worst part of this story is it's found that the company intentionally intended to get, quote unquote, those people hooked on their corn, so from then on, they have to buy that corn. That's not the way world agriculture should be. One more I've got to bring up since I've got about a minute is Mexico. Mexico calls themselves people of the corn. It's thought there's 1,000 varietals of corn in different parts of Mexico, all handpicked over the years by the locals that are growing the corn there to fit their exact environment. A particular grain that might grow best on this mountain somewhere up or down in Mexico, and you take that seed and bring it 200 miles away, and it might survive, but it doesn't thrive. It hasn't been exactly handpicked to be in that particular environment. Well, here's the scary part of that. We now have infected a number of their corns with genetically modified genes by accident. It can, we found out, be carried in the truck. Seeds get out along the highway when they deliver them and they get mixed in with the other corn. It may even be that the actual genes themselves are carried in the pollen. And so we're actually altering their crops with our genetic modification, first, without their permission, number one. Second, without their knowledge. And third, what really brought it on is there was a couple of times the small farmer was sued, and this is when Monsanto still owned it before Bayer took over, sued for using genetically modified corn he didn't own when he didn't even know it was modified. Okay, that's the danger. We don't know where this stuff's going. We don't even know what it does to our bodies. There's some studies that show certain modifications of the foods that we eat, in the case of one study, you know, actually affected the fertility rates of the rats and mice they used to study them. We're not even sure how it happens yet. But the modified corn lowered the birth rate that regular corn didn't bother in the same particular study, or let's just say the same exact set of rats, for lack of a better way to explain it. Food for... Food for thought. Thanks for staying tuned to Organic.